him that this one is ting ting and not tuk tuk. So he draw the two coconuts higher. And so every time he draw it higher, it means ting ting, the higher go me ting ting. He draw it lower, me ting ting. So now he has a means of communicating sounds to his friend. The next day, three coconuts fell. This time the coconut fell very fast. A strong wind blew, hurricane. He goes, now he has to think, how do I tell my friend that it dropped? I could tell him now how, whether it dropped on a tin can, or it dropped in the water, or dropped in a mud prop. Now how do I tell him that it dropped very fast? So he think and he got an idea. Now, please, music notes didn't actually come out that way, right? But it's my way of simplifying it for the non-musician. See, when you understand what notes are, you could simplify in various ways for the non-musician to understand. You don't just tell them, okay, memorize, this is what it means. You tell them how it comes about. And when they understand how it comes about, it's easy to remember, easy to read. So one day there was this man, and said the hurricane blew, three coconuts dropped very in rapid succession. And so he got an idea. To tell him that it's dropped faster, I put one line after the coconut. So he draw a rounding coconut and put a line right there. And so he communicated, this means that, ta-da-da, much faster. And so when it's very, very fast, he says, now I must draw a note with a line and put a little flag there. Tell him the hurricane is blowing very fast. When it's very, very fast, draw two flags. And for musicians, you all know that that has to do with the brief, the semi-brief, the crotchet, and the quaver, and the semi-quaver. Right? But music notes are just a language to communicate sounds. See, when you understand it, and you could teach people the essence of what it means, that a note is just communication of a sound. It can be the sound produced by this or that, but it's the same sound. And if I draw a line after it or whatever, is to tell you how fast I draw it up or down, tell you how high or how low, that's all. So simple. And usually, the reason in the early days when we did that, it was because we wanted most of the musicians to at least be able to read notes. But this is what I mean. All truth and anything natural or spiritual will always be deep, because truth, and that is what science is. Look at what science is doing. They're trying to find the essence of what runs things. So when Einstein comes out with E equals MC squared, they say, wow, they haven't seen mass link up with energy in that state. So he wholly simplified various fields. When the Maxwell equation came, that link various electromagnetic laws and electricity, the scientists in these days would say, amazing how you could link two different fields together. See, truth is simple, whether it be natural or spiritual, but it's only simple when it's understood. It looks complex when it's not understood. I pray that you encouragement, whatever subject you study, whether it's math, science, or some course you're going through, or economics course, or university course, remember this. Try to get to those books or teachers who really understand the subject. Those who partially understand make it complex. Those who fully understand can go right to the essence, and they will bring out the simplicity of it, and that's where you can learn faster. Speed learning. Right, now we go to Revelation chapter 10. See, we see here how simple it is to understand the mystery of the seven angel, which was mysterious for so long. It took me 5 years. Before I see, when I saw it, I say, Lord, it's so simple. I got it by looking at the no longer. But we just don't see those things. And so it says here in verse 6 that there should be delay no longer. The seven thunders were the sounds that pronounced judgment. What the angel brought forth was the confirmation and the establishment of the woes and the judgment that came on the earth. Which is why he asked John not to write it down. It may be too horrible for us to take it. But Look at verse 7, chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. Now, what mystery is that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. There's a mystery called mystery of lawlessness. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. See, there is a mystery of iniquity. And Revelation 10 tells us that that mystery has been prophesied in verse 7, has been declared by his servants, the prophets. What has John the Apostle been declaring? What has Paul been declaring? They have been saying that there is a mystery of iniquity working, how the spirit of Antichrist is already at work, and you know what the completion of the spirit of iniquity is? The manifestation of Antichrist in the flesh. Just as the whole panorama of God's revelation was how God became human flesh and dwell and live among us, died on the cross, rose again, and sat on the right hand of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The mystery of lawlessness and iniquity is how the devil will personify himself in the Antichrist in flesh. And that mystery is completed. And that is why after the seventh angel came, you have a description. You have a description of all those things that take place, like chapter 12, the war in verse 7 in heaven, and then the third war taking place, where it says in verse 12, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath." That's the manifestation of the mystery. And the devil himself comes, and when the devil came to totally influence the Antichrist, who is already manifesting the first 3.5 years, we see that there is a change that takes place, and the abomination of desolation is complete. When the devil comes down, that will end, that will be right at the exact middle of the 3.5 of the 7 years. And that will be when the woman, in verse 14, chapter 12, verse 14 of Revelation, representing Israel, will be chased into the wilderness. Where the last 3.5 years, the Jews, remember what Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, flee to the mountains. And the Jews will have to flee. So, can you imagine, the seventh angel, in chapter 10, declaring that coming to pass. And what he declared was the abomination of desolation and God's judgment that will take place immediately when those things manifest. And the wonderful thing is that in chapter 5 of Zechariah, in the sixth vision, we have it declared. Now we understand what it says. It says here that there was a scroll that came. Now that scroll, we realize that in a different form, John the apostle took that scroll, he ate it, and he prophesied to the nations. What did he prophesy? The rest of his prophecy are all judgment, as written in the book of Revelation. So we see here in chapter 5 of Zechariah that scroll bears a curse. What was the curse? The curse and God's judgment on Satan and the Antichrist. That is why from that time onwards, there was a curse on the thief, the Antichrist. See, the blessing was there first. He had limited authority. He had a measure of authority. Look at, let's cross-reference here to book of Daniel. He had a measure of limited permission, I call it. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall indeed and shall intend to change times and law, then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time, not permanently, but for a time. So, for some race and reasons, says here that God permitted the Antichrist, and he prospered for some time. In chapter 8, verse 24 to 25, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. Look, he will prosper in the first 3.5 years tremendously. But the moment he did the abomination of desolation, the war is completed, the full manifestation, and that's when all the curses start pouring on him. Do you notice that after that, all the judgments begin to pour, that comes on the Antichrist in the seven bowls. We call it the seven bowls. In chapter 16, all these take place in the last 3.5 years. The first bowl in chapter 16, verse 2, malignant sores. Second bowl in verse 3, the sea turns to blood. Third bowl in verse 4, the waters turn to blood. The fourth bowl in verse 8, the angel poured the bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And then in chapter 16 verse 10, the fifth angel poured the bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. All the bowls were poured on him during the 3.5 years, the last part. And it began to be poured on him from the abomination of desolation, which is what Zechariah chapter 5 verse 4 says. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief. It shall enter the house, the throne, the place, the inhabitant of the thief, and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And it shall remain there, the judgment shall remain there, until every brick timber will fall apart of the Antichrist kingdom. That's Zechariah chapter 5, the sixth vision. See how powerful Zechariah has brought us into a understanding. And of course, chapter 5, verse 5, the vision of the woman in the basket is simple, because the word Shina is mentioned in verse 11. And he said to me, where are they carrying the basket? And they said, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar. Shinar actually is Babylon. If your Bible has a good translation, you put it beside that, it will tell you that is a place that is known as Babylon. So that seven vision represent the last and final rise of the city of Babylon that the book of Revelation talk about. She is the Antichrist empire. Then in chapter 6 of Revelation, chapter 6 of Zechariah chapter 6, in verse 1, I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming forth. And the first chariots were red horses, second chariot black horses, third chariot white horses, fourth chariot dappled horses, strong steeds. And it says here in verse 5, the angel answered and said, these are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horse is going to the north country, the white are going after them, the dapple going to the south, and all these go throughout all the earth.